Good evening, guys. Welcome to Wednesday night service here at Grace Community Church. I hope everybody's doing well. My name's Steve, and I'm going to be delivering the message tonight. Funny thing is, I've done this plenty of times here with the youth and here, and I thought, well, there's nobody going to be here tonight, and I'm not going to be nervous, but as I was coming in, and then I was talking to Travis and Danielle, I'm still nervous. So just bear with me here. God's got something to say through me. I hope it reaches someone tonight. So before we get started, let's pray. So God, thank you for this moment and thank you for this time. And I just ask a blessing and favor over each person that's listening. I pray over this world and I pray for our leaders in a time of trouble and confusion. Just be with them. Just guide and direct, just be with our church family, be with anyone that is sick and is calling out for you. Just guide and direct and be with us, and I pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, tonight I'm going to just want to be speaking to you. I will give you a warning. There is quite a few scriptures, and that's kind of odd for me that when I preach, I don't use that much scripture, but God just laid it on my heart for scriptures, and sometimes I think that pastors just need to read the word and not give their opinion. So basically, I'm just going to be, like I said, there's a lot of scriptures. But tonight, the title of my sermon is In Time of Trouble, Confusion, Fear, Be Still, and Let God Be God. So I want to say that one more time. In time of trouble, in time of confusion, in time of fear, be still and let God be God. So first thing I'm going to take you to is we're going to go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible. Very first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, sometimes I think as we go through our daily lives every day, we kind of forget that God created everything that you see, everything that's on this earth. One man created that. We didn't. God did. He created you for a reason, some reason, today. And that reason is not to be troubled, to not be confused, and not live in fear. So let me read that one more time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. If you go over to chapter 1, verse 27. It says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So again, that goes to show God created everything on earth, but God created you. And we have the same characteristics as God. I mean, I was talking to Danielle this morning as we were doing our morning walk, and I said, I just asked her, I said, do we have the same characteristics as God? And she said, well, yes. She said, he worried, he wept, he got angry. So I know that when Jesus was about to face the cross, he got fearful. He went into the garden and prayed, and he was so worried and so concerned that when he cried blood. And I mean, that's so in this time when you're confused and fear, realize that the person that created you has the same characteristics as you. So the main verses I want to go on tonight, which God's had me in this for almost a year on and off. I will read it. Then I will go, when I'm driving back and forth to work, I will listen to it. And it's in Exodus. And it's Exodus 14. Let me get to it here. Exodus 14, verses 10 through 14. So what's going on right here? Moses has led the Israelites out of Egypt. Well, Pharaoh has decided it's not in his best interest. He's going to chase after them and go get them. So they're in here, it says on verse 10, as Pharaoh approached the people of Israel, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtake them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us up here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt?" Right there in three verses are saying, why? And sometimes when we're confused and when we're fear, we do that. We ask God, why did you do this? So verse 12, "Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, 'Leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness.' But Moses told the people, 'Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm.'" That's my main message tonight. When time comes that you're fearful, confusion, in trouble, anything, stay calm. If you look at verse 10 again, and it says, "As Pharaoh approached the people of Israel, looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians." Couple of questions for you all. How many times do we look up in our day-to-day lives and worry about something? I'm talking about you worry about your family, you worry about kids, you worry about money, you worry about jobs, you just panic. But what we need to do instead of panicking is look to God and say, "God, help us." Sometimes in life, you lose a loved one, you get a divorce, you lose your job, and it's human nature to panic. But just like they did. And I've got one other thing. How many times do we panic when we do something for God and we ask ourselves, did I hear God right, or did I just do it on my own? That's a question I get a lot, and that's a question I ask God a lot. Did I do this on my own, or did you lead me to it? And I've had conversations, and people will say, "Did I hear God right?" Well, I believe, and this is not a Steve belief, and if you've been in the youth with me for years and years, I have a bunch of these Steve beliefs. It's not in the Bible. It's not anything. But if I believe I'm hearing God, and I take that step of faith, God's still going to bless me and keep me safe if he knows my heart. Now, sometimes it's very hard to understand, and sometimes it's very easy to understand when God is talking to me. Like in some situations, I know that I'm supposed to do it. So, give you a couple examples. I've been in God's will and done the same thing. I've panicked. And she's sitting right here, and she'll probably, if you hear a big amen in this, then it's just Danielle saying amen. In our marriage, the first year, let me just say, it was a hurricane, a tsunami, a tornado, it was everything. And what we did, we didn't panic, but I am going to say, we did ask why. Why are you doing this? Just like the Egyptians. The Israelites asked Moses, "Why did you bring us out here? Why did you do this? Why did you do this?" But we both knew that at that time, we were in God's will. I mean, was it easy? No. But we were in God's will, and what did we do? We stood still. We didn't run. We didn't get a divorce. We didn't go to do this. We stood still, and as right now, by God's grace, our marriage is good, and we are fine. Another example for me, because I always like to use life examples, is my job. Three years ago, I was working at this comfortable job. I made the remark, to Danielle, I'm probably going to retire from this place. Well, God had other plans. That was my will. God's will was for me to do something else. Okay, when I moved into this new job, I'm going to say, it was not easy. I knew that God had moved me to this job. But during that time, especially the first month, well, I'm going to say the first 6 months, it was turmoil. I mean, I had the general manager that didn't want me there. Assistant general manager didn't want me there. I had people that were working under me that didn't even want me there. And it was very tough to go and go to work and go do this every day. Because you know you're at work 40 hours a week. So, but during that time, I knew, I did ask God, why? Why did you put me here? Well, I mean, I was comfortable going, why did you put me here? But the main thing I did, and I've been there for 2 years, and did I say things are getting better now? Yes. The main thing I did there was I stood still, and I let God be God, because God had put me where I was. If you look there at verse 13 and 14, Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. People have been, I would say everyone that's listening has been in some situation in their lives that they think, how in the world am I going to get out of it? Well, you're here today. God got you out of it. He rescued you just like he rescued the Israelites. If you go on, it says, the Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Now, I do want to say this, one point. The same God that Moses was talking to on that day is the same God that you talk to daily. God is no different then than he is now. God, the same God that everyone spoke to in this Bible is the same God that you talk to today. Some people say that God doesn't do miracles. Okay, let me ask you this. Look at your life. Look at your past life, what you did. Some of you, oh, it's a miracle you're even here today. So don't say he doesn't do miracles. I have this shirt on that my daughter made me. Now, don't ask me to pronounce this, I won't say, condition. But my son Malachi, and this is her story to tell, not my story to tell, but a brief history. He was born, and I know that they had told her that he won't walk, he won't talk, he'll just be there and just whatever. Well, I can tell you today that little cowboy is walking, is talking, he's got his blue running shoes on like his Gigi, and he runs. So right there is a miracle in itself. So just stay calm. I have some three other verses that I want to read you in here. I want to go to Psalms 37:7. And it says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. I think sometimes Christians get upset about that right there. It says, don't worry about evil people who prosper, because they keep on going, well, I'm doing good. I'm going to church on Sunday. I'm reading my Bible on Sunday, every day. I'm praying. I'm doing what God said. But my neighbor over here, he's partying every weekend. He's doing this. He's doing that. He's got more than I've got. He looks happy. Well, that may look like it is, but I'm just saying, the Christian life, God never promised you an easy, easy life. God says in James that time of trouble, what are you supposed to do? Rejoice, okay? Don't worry about what other people are doing. Worry what you're doing, and if you're serving God, and if you're doing what God asks you to do, you will get that blessing. So let's go to the next verse, Psalms 46:10. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. Again, at the first one I started, it's be still. And verse 10 starts out, be still. Sometimes we just try and we try and we try to do what we think is right, and we're not still and let God work. And sometimes we pray and it says, we think it's going to be instant. God, help me, help me, help me. And we expect him to be right then or right there. He's always with you no matter what we do. He just answers in his time, not in our time. And that's where I think some of us, I mean, I'm at fault too, some of us just get in trouble because we don't think God's listening, but he is listening. And he is going to do what his will is, really not what our will is, to help us get out of this situation. Okay, next verse is Psalms 62:5. And it says, let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. That's where we've got to go and realize all our hope, all our faith is in God. And he is going to be the provider of everything that we do. Let me go. I remember in the first of the year when it was New Year's resolutions, and everybody that was doing New Year's resolutions was going 2020, 2020 vision. 2020 is going to be a great year. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. Well, what has happened since 2020 has started? Well, in my lifetime, this is the most confusing year I've ever seen. I mean, you start out and you have the coronavirus. Okay. You could have never told me or probably told anybody else last year at this time, well, in March, the whole country is going to shut down and we're going to be stuck inside. They would have said, just crazy. But that's what happened. People started losing jobs. They stay home. One minute you will hear a million people is going to die. The next minute you feel that nothing's going to happen. The next minute you're going to catch this virus. If you touch something, the next minute the virus is, you would hear so much stuff. Then I really don't know about when you go to the store and there's no toilet paper. I still have never figured that one out about why there's no toilet paper. And then you get to the point where people start panicking because there's no meat or chicken in the stores. So it's always something. And then we get through that. Well, we're not really through that. And then you start all the protesting. And people seem, I mean, everybody is talking about these two things. It's either the virus or the protesting. And you either got two types of people, the ones that are not fearful, or you got the ones that are fearful of everything. So wonder if 2020, if God not is it's his plan for us to focus more on him. Not focus more on us, focus more on him. So I just ask what you're asking for, just focus on him in 2020. So this right here with the virus, with the protesting, with the day the world is going, that's where I compare in Exodus with today. We can look around right now and we can be fearful, we can be confused, we can be whatever. But, title of the lesson, be still and let God be God. So you ask, how do I do this? Well, one thing that you can start by doing that is very important is if you're a Christian and you believe in this word every day, pick up this more than you pick up your phone. Pick up this more than you rely on people's word. Pick up this and read this more than you rely on TV news. Because, I mean, even today, even 30 years ago, 40 years ago, I remember my grandmother saying, and for some reason, I always have to mention her in my sermon. I mean, but she told me, you can't believe what everybody says. Please listen to this. You cannot believe what everybody says. I mean, when I understand that new technology, and I'm the worst of it. New technology, you get your phone, you get your computer, you work, you want to come home, you sit on the couch and you turn the TV on, or you sit there with that phone in your hand and you start scrolling Facebook, or you start scrolling Instagram, or you start scrolling, I don't know, whatever. Or you turn on the news and you listen to their news. Today I was off. I turned the news on at 12 o'clock. Well, me and Danielle were in the kitchen, and by 12:02, I was ready to cut off the news. I mean, 2 weeks ago, I got in a very bad habit of, I was on Facebook. I looked at one time. I was probably on Facebook 2 or 3 hours that day. And that was average. And you would see one story after another story after another story. And nothing was good. I mean, I want to keep up with Facebook because I have four kids that are out of the house. And if they're on Facebook, I want to know what they're doing. I want to know what my grandkids are doing. And that's a good way to do it. I can see pictures of them and everything like that. I do not want to see all the bad stuff. Because if you looked at Facebook or Instagram or Twitter and you got consumed by that, you would think the world is going to end in 10 minutes. I mean, it's crazy to me how much fear and anxiety that one social media thing can produce. So, I mean, I had to limit myself, and I will tell you, life is more peaceful. Only thing I do now is I look at the notifications to see if I've been tagged in anything, look at it a few minutes and cut it off. I mean, I would recommend doing that because I know people, I work with people that come in and they believe everything they see on Facebook and Instagram, and I can't believe it. So I encourage you, if you're living in that fear and that confusion of that, next time you want to pick up Facebook, pick up God's Word. Pick up God's Word and see what He has to say. All right, that would be number one. Number two, trust. If you're a Christian and you believe this right here, trust it. It will happen. I mean, you could go through many, many, many. I love the story of Elijah in the Bible when he's going up against the, and forgive me if I'm wrong, the 600 prophets, I think, and they want to see his God and their God, and he just sits back with confidence and goes, hey, just show me your God. And he said, my God can do this, and he builds an altar, and he puts rocks around it. He keeps pouring water on it, water on it, water on it. A God comes down and consumes it with fire. Elijah was confident in that moment right there, very confident. You be confident. I mean, you get up in the morning, you read your word, you study it, you say you're a Christian, you got the Christian little sticker on your back that I'm a Christian. Okay, live it, prove it. Be confident in what the word says. That's one thing that you can be peaceful. Next thing, pray. And that's very simple. I mean, you talk to your spouse, you talk to your kids, you talk to your coworkers. Why can't you talk to God? He doesn't ask you to get there and say this elaborate prayer or anything. He just wants you to talk. Talk to Him. If you went weeks without talking to your spouse or your kids, would you have a relationship with them? You wouldn't. So talk to God. I mean, it doesn't have to be in any certain place. He does say go to a place and talk to Him, but you can be driving down the road. You can be in the middle of a basketball game. You can be in the middle of anything. Talk to Him. Find your prayer closet. Find your peaceful place. It's different for everyone. My prayer closet, and people think it's weird, is when I go running and I get on the trails. That's mine. Okay? My wife, Danielle, hers is different. Yours is going to be different. But talk to Him. That's all He wants to do is have a relationship with you. He put you on this earth to serve. So just talk to Him. After you do that, have faith. I mean, these are simple things, and I've preached on them forever and forever, seems like. But you've got to have that faith. If you don't have the faith, then it's faith without works is dead. So if you feel like God's calling you to do something, don't be fearful. Don't be confused. Step out and do it. If he is calling you to do it, just like He had me up here tonight. I have prayed. Yes, I have prayed. God, I want to speak Your word. I loved when I did the youth, and I would do it every Monday night. And it helps me. I learn. And he did answer a prayer that let me up here. But is it my preference to come up here and speak? No, I'm very nervous. And I'm still very nervous. But if he's called you to do something, I mean, he's called you at this place that you're working right now. There's somebody there that needs to see you. Not one single person when I started my new job knew I was a youth pastor. Didn't know I was a pastor. Didn't know I was a Christian. Not one single person. But as I went through, they could see that it was something different. And I praise God that the light of him could come through, that they could see that. Okay, you're at work. Let your light shine. I mean, the world needs God right now. So I wonder if he's got you at the place that you need to be right now to shine that light. Have faith in God. Okay, I know you've heard this 100 times, but there's story after story in the Bible of people, prayer, faith, trust, and being still. There's also someone that you know, it may be you, that you've been through trouble and God's got you through this trouble. You know that whatever trouble, whatever fear, whatever confusion you're going through right now, God's going to get you through it if you do these things. If you trust him, if you pray and you talk to him, if you have faith. I know this may have been a short sermon, but I want to, two more things. John, how do we know that we know that God is going to be with us? If you go to John 1:1-15, and it says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. I'm going to read that one again. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. You're the light. God's put you somewhere right now. Be that light. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is a true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, even they rejected him. But to all who believe him and accept him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plans, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. It says right there, he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Are you full of unfailing love and faithfulness? Do you pursue God daily? Last verse I want to read, and everybody knows it, and God's got it on my heart to do. So let me turn here, and it's John 3:16. For God so loved the world, God loved the world so much that he gave his only one and only Son, so that everyone who believed in him will not perish, but have eternal life. If we can hold on to one thing today, is we're not on this earth forever. We do have eternal life. Trust in God, have faith, and just be still. So I thank you for listening. I hope it touched someone. I want to end in prayer. I wish everyone the best throughout the week. Just hope that you all have a very good week, and I encourage you, be the light to someone. So let's pray. Let's close in prayer. God, thank you for the service, and thank you for your word. And thank you for all that you've done. I just guide and direct and help in everything that we do. We love you. We thank you for just being there for us and for all our needs, and giving us this day to serve you and to love you. I pray this in your name, and amen.